It is the month of October, and we are recognizing breast cancer awareness. I've got several guests today to help us with that. Mike Bellamy with the Tallahassee Fire Department. Christina Holm is here with Four Points by Sheraton Hotel. Marcia Dahl talked with us about her own survivorship. I've got Steffi Tassos in part two talking about music therapy. And then our friend Pat Muth will be with us to talk about presidential debates. Stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far. Money at car stereos, car alarms, things for all you soccer moms, detail and diamond play, parts to fix your tailgate. Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far. Exterior accessories, gift kits for your mud needs, mud tires, nice wheels, everyone will get a deal. Window tinting, that's a must. Come on out and visit us. Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop, we always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything is here from A to Z.
Welcome again, my dear friend. Thank you for joining me on this ever inspiring journey, making those discoveries from time to time, the people in this town who are doing very cool things, we like to say, very cool people doing very cool things. It is also the month of intensified presidential politics, and we have already had two debates, one with the presidential candidates and the other with the vice presidential candidates. You know, and everybody sorting that out and trying to declare who was the winner or who have been those winners in each of those matchups, contests. So I invited Pat Muth to talk with us again about her experiences in this. You know, Pat, for her career, has been involved in such things. Long time Chicago radio talk show host, I don't know, 100 markets or so. She was back there in those days, 25 years ago, having conversations with all kinds of people. And it turned out that a lot of them got involved with Ross Perot and the Reform Party. So here she is now, these 20-plus years later, and she's written this book. You've heard me talk about it, A Title in the Making. There is a section in that book in which he describes the occurrence of the debate between then President Clinton and the challenger, Bob Dole. This is 1996. What you're going to get is a backstage view, the things that happened during that particular time that brings to light where we are these days. With the question whether or not we are seeing things as we would like to see them, unvarnished, straight up, honest, or are we seeing something that has been manufactured that is in keeping with the rest of television? You know, it's entertainment. And as entertainment goes, it is highly crafted. It is purposed and groomed and fashioned in such a way that the whole show carries the kind of weight that network executives hope it will, because they're in the business of selling airtime to sponsors and advertisers. It's the bottom line, my friend. It's kind of how it rolls. And it's my contention that much of what goes on, both in television and radio, and perhaps in print to some degree, or maybe in large degree, and it goes on and on and on with internet channels and various sources that are really about selling something. Sometimes it's their version of the truth. Sometimes it's a product or another idea that has nothing to do with the substance of the conversation. It has everything to do with who's going to get attached to this particular flow of viewership or listenership or readership, right? So we see a little bit of that going on with the whole breast cancer awareness movement, by the way. You know, there are those of us, and I think the vast majority of us, who care about the topic at hand, whether it's preventing, treating breast cancer, diagnosing breast cancer, or if it's political position, if it's public policy, if it's how, in fact, the federal government does business. What are those issues that are most pertinent? How do we organize ourselves? What do we fund? What do we spend our time and money doing as a nation? Whether it's national security or domestic policies, domestic programs, infrastructure, borders, various programs that are all about serving the people, right? So if we're building schools and bridges, or if we're funding our military, if we are providing aid for those who are in need, if we are helping within our own borders those who are in need, or foreign nations, if we are helping to advance ourselves technologically, how are we doing that? Well, I mean, if that's the conversation, if that's the substance of what we really are concerned about, and we're all coming to those moments when we have opportunity to learn more, you gather a crowd, and there's an opportunity for somebody else to latch on to that, to sell a product, to advance their cause, their individual purpose, whatever that might be. So when you look at the opportunities that are presented, like a pink ribbon, and you ask, well, I'm buying this pink ribbon here for $3 or $10 or whatever. Where does that money go? That's a good question. When I'm watching that presidential debate, what am I learning, and who stands to gain by virtue of their association with that event, whether it's a TV network or some advertiser or somebody trying to advance their career as a journalist? A TV news anchor, moderator. Only a couple of weeks left, and we've got to make a decision for this presidential season, the presidential election. Folks, I hope you enjoy this as much as I do. I really have a great time talking with you each week. You know that you can find us online at TallahasseeTalks.com. All of our shows are archived for you there. You can also subscribe to the podcast if it's easier for you to listen that way at your leisure. We're on tonight on 93.3 because of Gator football. We were on at 8 o'clock tonight, and with that, we're glad to have the opportunity to speak to you folks who listen on 93.3 FM in Tallahassee. And we're also on Moose Magnificat, which you'll find online, on Saturday mornings at 9 and on Saturday evenings at 9:30 and Wednesdays at 5:30. So lots of ways that you can enjoy Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. It is certainly our pleasure to do so. All right, as promised, I've got standing by Andrew Rybeck with what you'll be doing this week. Andrew?
Thanks, Brian. So if you're anything like me, you're a pretty active dreamer. You probably also wish there were a way for you to harness these dreams and keep them with you when you wake up. Well, if you make your way to Crystal Portal out in Railroad Square today, you can partake in a 2-hour Dreamcatcher workshop. This is where you can weave your very own dream catcher with a wide variety of strings, feathers, beads, you name it. Tickets are $20, and while you're there, you'll be sure to learn about the history of the dream catcher, as well as dreams in general, and why we have them. Additionally, if you have any materials from home that you want to add to your dream catcher, by all means, bring them out there with you. If you're looking for something tonight, FSU and the College of Music are proud to announce their season opener of the University Wind Orchestra. This will take place in the Ruby Diamond Concert Hall at 7:30. Richard Clary will conduct their performance composed of All-American works featuring songs by Aaron Copland, Dana Wilson, Don Freund, and Robert Bennett. Tickets are $10 for general admission, and FSU students can attend for free. If you can't make tonight's showing, don't worry. This is a year-long production. That's what you'll be doing this week. For Tallahassee Talks, I'm Andrew Rybeck.
Witten Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Witten Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Witten Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Witten's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Witten is known for taking care of business. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Well, here we are again with Steffi Tassos. You know, if I say it 1,000 times, I'll probably get it right. Steffi Tassos-Wulsifer is a performer, a music teacher, a long, long history of performance. You performed for years down there in South Florida.
South Florida, New York. I worked in New York City for a long time.
Yeah. Which one of the Fontainebleau or one of the hotels down there had you?
The Biscayne Bay Marriott.
That's what it was. Okay.
I knew you were
showcasing somewhere. So you had this wonderful music career. You've been a music teacher and then got into this business of music therapy.
Yes, I did.
And we had you with us last week. Here you are again to bring us part two of this conversation. What do you think makes music therapy particularly unique? Of course, the fact that you're working within the realm of music. But let's talk about what it does for an individual, let's say emotionally, psychologically, that maybe other therapies do not as well in the same way.
When it comes to singing, and singing is, because it's such a physical experience, and I mean, singing is basically two things. It's breath, you know, breath support and placement, you know, and placement is something that some people don't quite understand what that is, but placement has to do with how you place your voice. You know, do you place your voice up here, you know, like an opera singer, or do you place it down in your chest register, which is where most pop singers sing.
Most of us, yeah.
And but it's a very physical act, and so maybe unlike art therapy, which is, of course, a very valuable therapy also because it's very introspective and very creative, but with music therapy, particularly with singing, it forces the client or the student to really focus on their breath, to maintain good posture. It's a very physical thing, and it has a physical effect. And especially after, if you have a student that's and my students will tell you this, that I really work you. You know, I mean, you're going to be singing a lot, and they come out of their lessons like, they're tired.
In a group therapy situation, and is it always in a group when you do music therapy?
No.
Okay, but in that case, you don't necessarily have somebody in front of you who is a singer or a student. You're just trying to help them.
Yeah,
and the music is able to get them moving. Is that the idea?
It can. Well, it can sometimes if they want to move along to it. Huh. You're just reminding me of an interesting case that I had when I worked with some adults that had cerebral palsy, and it was a group situation. Huh. And there was one gal, she was in her 40s, I'll call her Mary, but she had kind of high, she had mental retardation, cerebral palsy, and also some autism. But she was also, she could verbalize, you know, she could speak, and if you spoke to her, she could, you know, answer short questions, you know, short answers. So I asked her, I said, hey, Mary, how about you want to sing? And she was like, no, you know, I asked her anything. Do you want to do this? No, 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 no. So I just started, I had a guitar with me at the time. So I just started playing a blues and just kind of scat singing. And I said, okay, now you know, and I do like a, you know, like a short, you know, ba-do-da-ba-ba-ba-do-wa. And then she just, she would answer me. And by within about 15 minutes, I mean, she was just improvising and scat singing. She had perfect pitch. And she was just amazing.
Right on.
That she just had this, whatever she had going on in her brain, she had that connection, you know, that she could just kick into.
So she connected with you emotionally and intellectually, mentally.
Well,
right?
I don't know about that, but she certainly, whatever it is,
it opened
that part of her brain just clicked into just singing. And then afterwards I said, okay, Mary, you want to do another song? No.
No. Do some more for us with the instrument, because I know you're an accomplished musician in your own right. And you were playing a little blues riff early, I think, or jazz. Let's hear some of that.
So if I were like doing a you know, like an improvisation
with
a, you know, so I might, all right, I'll do it with you, okay?
We're going to
improvise. Okay, ready?
Yes.
Ba-do-ba-wee-ba-ba-ba-ba. All right, Brian, now you.
This is where I'm supposed
to sing. That's where you do it, right.
Oh, I'm sorry. See, that's always been my problem. That's why I didn't go into stand-up. Because it was always my timing. It was No, I'm teasing you.
Okay, ready?
Let's try that again.
Right,
I'll be ready this time, I promise.
All right, here we go. First me. Ba-do-ba-wee-ba-ba-ba-da.
Ba-da-da-da.
Yeah. Ba-do-ba-wee-ba-ba-ba-da.
I always feel like Baloo the bear when I sing like this.
All right. Ba-do-da-ba-wee-ba-ba-ba-da.
My friend Daffy Tossos singing the blues.
So you don't need me at all.
Yeah.
I got my friend Brian Cerny singing the blues.
Well, folks, this is why we do what we do.
All right, here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, the very eloquent and musically talented Steffi Tasos, our guest. So, in fact, immediately, and we've demonstrated this right here, right now, the fun that we get to have with music.
It is fun.
And
it's
a lot
of fun.
Yeah, and it can be as fun as you want it to be. And the two of us don't need a whole lot of encouragement here, do we? I mean, come on. Everybody's like, okay, we see where this is going. Brian's trying to launch his music career here.
You have a musical family.
No, but in fact, well, yes, that's true, I do. But in fact, there is something quite engaging, very empowering,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is.
And is that what makes music therapy by itself, you think? There are lots of therapeutic platforms out there or protocols. Is that what makes it work? Is the invasive aspects of it?
Yeah, I think, well, there's lots of scientific reasons why it works, which I'm not really going to get into, but but you know, kind of on the, you know, the quick and dirty explanation of it is number one, it's fun. And so people want to do it once I think they get past that fear or that anxiety about singing.
And is that in and of itself the point? Is it where you're helping me get past?
Yeah, in a lot. I mean, there are people that will say, you know, I don't know how to sing. You know, can anybody sing? I go, anybody can sing. You know, it's just there are people that do it better than others. And there's, you know, just because you can sing doesn't necessarily mean that you should do it professionally.
Right.
But, you know, you can certainly engage in like a singing group. There's lots of research out there about how therapeutic group singing is. You know, on anything from socialization to depression and anxiety you know, people with Alzheimer's. And it's wonderful, you know. And there's a lot that goes into singing and to singing well. But and in the process of learning how to do that, you can, gain so much, you know, about, you know, in self-esteem, in improving your breath support. You know, sometimes I have worked with people who have had post-stroke aphasia, you know, which is a speech impediment.
Right.
And they're confined to wheelchairs, so they don't, and they're slouched in their wheelchairs, and maybe they can sing a song like You Are My Sunshine, like we did last time.
Yeah.
But they're not doing, you know, You Are My Sunshine. Yeah, yeah. So if I can get them to sit up a little bit and maybe breathe a little better, let's do a breathing exercise, and then let's take a deep breath and sing Amazing Grace.
So there's some immediate benefits there. Yeah.
And it's...
very cool.
And you see it. You see it in their affect.
That's,
you know,
wild.
It's,
that's wild. Folks, our dear friend and a good friend to so many people, Steffi Tasos-Wolsifer, our guest this morning, for part two of this conversation about music therapy and her work as a musician, a music instructor. Again, her website, very simply, is keepsafemusic.com. You can go and learn more about what she's doing, what she has done. Perhaps you too will be encouraged to carry a song in your heart today.
Yes.
Steffi, thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
What
Brian.
A pleasure.
Okay.
Stay with me, folks. We got more coming up. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We'll be right back.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny at your service here on this occasion when we have opportunity to pay attention to all of the many things going on related to breast cancer awareness. October, the designated month for all of these observances. And man, aren't there a host of them. Interesting. From a lot of different perspectives, the medical aspects of early detection, including self-examination and screenings, has contributed sizably to the decline in breast cancer deaths over the last decade. In fact, you can do this yourself. Do a little Googling there and research some of the academics, research some of the medical reports, especially from the American Cancer Society. So early detection and treatment are both key to this. And in the treatment side, there have been advances. We have for you today a rebroadcast of a conversation I had 2 years ago with Marcia Dahl. Many of you know Marcia. She is celebrated locally as one of our most beloved entrepreneurs, and she has her modeling agency that has contributed sizably on a national, even a worldwide scale. But Marcia was a victim of breast cancer. And in the conversation that we had those 2 years ago, she was quite willing to share with us then her personal battle and what she did to not only overcome the attack of breast cancer, but to move herself forward in the face of that, and for her, make some interesting discoveries about who she is and what else she was going to do with her life and how she was going to take what was a tragic situation and turn it in a direction that could be quite positive. An inspiring tale. I think you'll enjoy hearing from her in that. We'll get to that here in just a minute. I wanted to point out that across town, of course, in Leon County and the various communities around us, in the greater Tallahassee area, you got all kinds of cooperation going on. And it's a remarkable phenomenon from the marketing standpoint, if you'll allow me, this idea of breast cancer awareness and the whole power of pink in a cause-related marketing approach. It's a remarkable phenomenon when, you know, you go back about 15 to 20 years ago and you find this effort being launched to increase awareness. And it was coming from people who were in positions of influence, magazine publishers and cosmetic wholesalers and, you know, various folks who themselves were challenged either directly or by way of a family member with the onslaught of breast cancer. How can we increase awareness? How can we get everybody on board with this? how can we advance the need for understanding? How do we advance the fundraising necessary to provide for research and even public service announcements or information campaigns so that people are better prepared to deal with it or better informed in advance of the possibilities of breast cancer? So cause-related marketing is the topic, and this whole pink ribbon phenomenon is one of the most now widely recognized symbols in the United States. And it's in its origins, pink was selected because of its relation to femininity and how much it demonstrated for the viewer those things that women are threatened with, that I'm going to lose one of the aspects of my life that is so defining for me as a woman. And so pink was that choice. And for those organizations that are for profit, that benefit through the association of this positive ideology, we as consumers have to be a bit cautious, okay? So there's no license here. There's nothing prohibiting a company from wanting to put a pink ribbon on a product or to sell you a pink ribbon, where in fact you might assume otherwise that that money is going to a nonprofit organization, or that it's going to the cause. Well, thankfully, I think that's true in most cases. But I think it's also important that we pay attention to where that money is going. Is it the American Cancer Society? Is it a foundation? Well, locally, we're fortunate. You know, we've got a number of organizations that are devoted to the treatment of the awareness aspects of breast cancer. And we are fortunate that we have today with us somebody who will tell us a little bit more about what they're doing, Christina Holm, who is representing the Four Points Hotel. It's a good example of a local business that has taken up the cause and is doing something that is substantial in terms of their public awareness. I mean, they have this iconic hotel in downtown Tallahassee, right? The round hotel that everybody recognizes. And they have that thing lit up pink for the month of October. And they've done some other things inside the hotel. Then they have, at the same time, decided to contribute to a local charity. And we're going to get Christine to tell us a little bit about that in detail. But first, I want to bring to you this conversation I had with Marcia Dahl. It's, like I say, about 2 years ago. And what I think you'll find in this is a remarkable aspect of not just this woman, but how the community rallied around her, her friends, her family, the kind of support that she found, the network of encouragement that she discovered, and then made some interesting discoveries about herself that were otherwise outside of her view prior to this whole experience. She went through a number of tragedies that were all sort of sequential. The breast cancer discovery was probably the most traumatic, and but her persistence is remarkable. So let's take a moment. We'll listen to my conversation with Marcia Dahl.
But I learned so much from that experience. And like you say, no one goes through life unscathed. You're going to have problems with children, health, your parents, whatever it is. You're just not going to get away from it. So, you know, I found that facing my fear head on and sharing my love for people and helping others and taking that energy, my negative pain, and taking it and turning it into positive and sharing my experiences with other people. Brian, you're one of the first that I've sat here really and been interviewed and talked about my breast cancer. So there you go. I think the time has come that enough time has gone by that it's time for me to really reach out. Now, I'm very involved with Breast Cancer, Joanna Francis. I do their shows and I train the models. But I just don't want people to look at me and go, oh, yeah, poor Marcia.
Well, you're certainly not feeling sorry for yourself, no. So why should we?
Right. There you go. I hope not. I hope not, because my life has turned out so incredibly fabulous. If this is my last day on Earth today, I am the luckiest person on this
earth. See, there you go. There is that spark of gratitude.
Oh, I'm very grateful. I did a lot of reading when I had cancer and when I was going through chemo. I read. I had to read. I had to get lost in positive things and stay positive.
Yeah.
And you can't expect your friends, you know, they don't know what to do. They don't know whether to feel sorry for you, laugh with you, cry with you. But I found my healing in a lot of really good books, from The Secret to The New Earth to all of Oprah's, you know, recommendations for reading that truly helped me through it. And I think that God has a way of, I don't know, it's when something bad happens to you, I think you stop and you see things you didn't see before.
Yeah.
Because of what you're going through. Huh. You know, we hear the birds singing and the sun shining and it's a pretty day and the temperature feels good outside. But when you're going through life or death and you might not make it, it's like those birds sound different. That sunshine shines different. You know, the smell of the flowers, it's getting your hands in the earth. I started planting gardens and I haven't done that since I was a child, but I tried to, in my mind, think what really used to make me happy. Besides making all this money and traveling the world and doing all this great stuff, what else made me happy? And it was getting my hands dirty in the earth.
Yeah.
And I went back and I did that. Oh, my God, Brian. I was so excited about my okra and my green beans. I can't tell you. Honestly, it was just amazing. So I truly try to help people in everything.
Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. That's the Merry Maid's way of keeping your home or office at its best. And it's what we've come to expect here at Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Our studios and offices always shine because Merry Maid's makes the difference. Like they do for hundreds of offices and homes in Tallahassee, they'll do just the same just for you. And they're right here, giving back to your community and giving you extra benefits. Like saving you up to $400 on your first cleaning by giving you extra service, and saving an extra 10% when you mention Tallahassee Talks. Their website makes it really easy for you to. You can schedule a cleaning and make a payment with just a few clicks, any day, anytime, day or night, when it's convenient for you. Call Merry Maids this week, 850-386-2205. That's 386-2205. Or find them at merrymaids.com.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So in looking at what all is going on around town with Breast Cancer Awareness Month here, the month of October, certainly a lot of businesses are participating. We see lots of great examples, a lot of good spiritedness behind all of this. Having just had this opportunity to listen to this conversation I had with Marcia Dahl here now 2 years ago, a great example of survivorship. And so for us, we look at not just how many businesses are participating in a way that encourages us to contribute to the research and to the efforts to prevent breast cancer or to treat breast cancer. We're looking at survivor rates going up. I've got Christina Holm, who is here with Four Points by Sheraton Hotel in Tallahassee to talk a little bit about. I thought this would be a good example, Christina, where we could look at some of the things that you folks are doing. How are you, by the way?
I am good.
Apart from being exhausted, because this is October.
It is a busy month for us between football weekends
and hurricanes.
And hurricanes. Oh, Florida. Never a dull moment.
People needing to find booking out of the path of this massive storm. And yet, in the midst of all of that, here comes the iconic Four Points Hotel with its pink light.
Yes.
That must be an undertaking because you got to change out.
It is. I am glad I am not tasked with doing that because you actually have to get up on the roof to do part of it. So it's quite a task, but we light the entire building up pink and we do that every year in honor of breast cancer survivors. And we just, it's a very cool thing when you're driving down Tennessee Street and you see that big pink light. I mean, there's a lot of people in Tallahassee that do support breast cancer awareness and you see it in almost everywhere you go. And I think that that is really powerful to how much Tallahassee really does in honor of breast cancer awareness.
Like the fact that you folks are downtown and you really have that sort of place in our hearts because the building itself dates back to the mid-60s, right, when it was first built. And what then
it means to us. It's like seeing the Empire State Building. You know?
Tallahassee's Empire State Building.
You've seen it a thousand times, or the state capitol. But to see that 4 points is gone pink for the month is really very tight. And you got some other things you're doing, too.
We do. We took part in the Pink Lemonade Stand campaign.
Ooh, nice.
And that money was going towards the Joanna Francis Foundation. So from 4 to 7 on Wednesday, we had a pink lemonade stand with cupcakes and pink lemonade.
Nice.
And we also have pink cocktail napkins in our bar, pink flowers in our restaurant area, just little things. And we all wear our little pink ribbons,
yeah,
too. So we just want something wherever you go throughout the hotel to remind you that breast cancer is out there and that there's ways that you can support the cause.
Yeah. Pink in and of itself is the, I guess, the quintessential color for femininity, mm-hmm, and womanhood and all that is associated with being a woman. And in the face of the threat of breast cancer, what better way to kind of step up and say, you know, I am still who I am. And this conversation we heard here moments ago with Marcia Dahl illustrates all that. She took what came, she looked at it and said, I'm going to turn this thing on its head. I'm going to make this thing something better. So when you look at businesses like Four Points by Sheraton and you look at the other businesses around the downtown area, what does it feel like for you to know that you're a part of that?
It is an amazing feeling of community when you see that, when you turn on Tennessee Street and you see the hotel lit up, and then you turn on Magnolia and you see that the Tallahassee Democrat painted their pillars pink, and then you turn on another street and there's a billboard where a company is honoring breast cancer awareness. I just think it shows how much the community in Tallahassee really cares and that they want to make a difference in all these women's lives.
Yeah. I shouldn't be hesitant to mention this, although I know you're going to hate me because you're already worked to death. But the holidays are coming.
They are.
And I know that you guys are booking holiday events over there like crazy.
We are.
So cool, huh?
It's that time of year. I mean, I know October, you don't want to even think about Christmas, but it's going to be here in a blink of an eye.
Yeah, well, all the stores have. So
I know. It's crazy. Before Halloween, you already start seeing Christmas trees. That's how you know Halloween's getting close.
Right.
But it is that time, and we're getting very excited. We're offering a promotion through the end of October, actually, that you can get a complimentary event concession if you book before the end of October for your 2016 holiday party.
That's cool.
It is, and we have actually one of the very cool concessions is that you can receive 10% of your bill can go towards a charity of your choice.
Look,
so you can do a little bit of good in the holidays and give back, and we'll give 10% of your final bill to the charity of your choice. Toys for Tots is a very popular one during that time of year, but any charity that you could think of, it could be the Joanna Francis Foundation.
I was going to say, here we are in October.
Yeah.
And I think I remember you saying that the rule is we have to book the event before the 31st, right? So
still
here we are in October.
Awareness.
Right. So that's a cool thing. So if I book my party with you, I can have you take 10% of the total bill and donate it to that charity in the name of my company.
Yes.
Right. And if I have those who I want to put up at the hotel for the after party.
Yep.
Because, you know, being safe is good, right?
And always.
Sometimes you have a guest who may not be in the best of shape or shouldn't be driving anyway. So that's a good thing.
Absolutely. We offer complimentary room blocks. Yep. And another concession is that you can get a complimentary suite. So if you're the one putting in all the work to plan the party, you can get a complimentary room that night.
That sounds good. I like that part.
That is what any of the people that are planning, that's the first thing they see. Oh, I don't have to leave. I can just go to sleep after.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you being with us. I know that for you personally, breast cancer has touched your family. I don't think there's a family that cannot say that they have no connection to cancer as an ailment or as an issue. Breast cancer maybe not, but it's way too common. In your personal life, you had a family member who was faced with that same circumstance.
Yeah, it was a family friend back in Tampa where I'm from, and she experienced breast cancer, and it was very serious and had to go through several procedures, but she came out a survivor.
Yeah.
And I think that what was the most powerful thing about that, because she had a young son, was that she really realized how many things you take for granted right. in daily life, and that she had this second chance almost by surviving. And I like what you said, that most everyone has been touched by some kind of cancer or someone that they know or a friend or a family member has had to deal with that. But I think what just goes to show what all of us have been working towards is that the survivorship is, it's much more now than what it was a couple of years ago. Yeah. The medical strides and all of the money that people have been donating is going towards another chance for a lot of people. And that's what we're all working towards.
Well, it seems to me, too, that the awareness issue, I mean, it's easy for us to become maybe a little dull or maybe it's out of sight. And so we're not as sensitive as we could be to the circumstances, because certainly at the end of October, it doesn't somehow just go away.
Right.
So this is our opportunity. And folks, if you don't get downtown often, you really need to see this. We have put photos of the hotel at our website, TallahasseeTalks.com, all lit up in pink. So you can go there and view for yourself just how spectacular this thing looks. It's hard to miss.
It is.
from any side of town. It really is eye-catching. And a memorable tribute. Folks, this is why we love having Christina come and talk to us, because the people at Four Points Hotel just do such a good job for all of us. Yeah. We appreciate all that you do for the community.
Well, thank you for having me, Brian.
Folks, stay with me. I've got more coming up here right after the top of the hour. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We'll be right back.
Broken Heart Concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Broken Heart Concepts. People with their cars, we're number one by far.
Tailgating starts here at Truck and Car Concepts. Get your free tailgate pong game with your purchase of any item, $500 or more. A free tailgate pong game for your next tailgating party.
Truck and Car Concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts. People with their cars, we're number one by far.
Get your free tailgate pong game this week with any purchase of $500 or more at Truck and Car Concepts, across from Kraft Nissan on Mahan Drive.
Truck and Car Concepts. We're your one-stop shop. We always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts. Everything is here from A to Z.
Call 656-8800.
The most talked about topics in town. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. In the second hour, we, as you know, are very much interested in the local music scene, and we like to feature local artists on our radio station, MooseMagnificat.com. We have sent Andrew Rybeck out there looking for local musicians to talk with us about their work. And he has for us a guest in this segment. We're going to learn about this young artist and his music. I think we're even going to get to hear a cut from his latest album. So let's give Andrew Rybeck a chance to bring us up to date on the local music scene.
Being a student at Florida State, I've had the opportunity to hear and appreciate a lot of local music. And I've had the opportunity of making a good bit of friends as well during my years. I'm fortunate enough to have one of these friends here with me. His name is John Debevoy. John, thanks for being with me this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Andrew.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we're here to talk about your new album, Citrus, right? Which came out last week.
Yeah, this past Saturday.
This past Saturday. Wonderful. And this is your first album, correct?
It is. It is my first mixtape album I was able to get out there, so.
what motivated you to get in the studio, you know, put those headphones on? What made you want to get out there and actually make an album?
Yeah, no, I've always just loved, you know, just writing down lyrics and having them go to a beat and just kind of on my own time, you know, just being able to practice those and, you know, spit, if you will, over beats, and just whether that's freestyling with friends or just, you know, creating my own songs on my own time. And I finally decided, after having spent this whole summer away working at a camp, that I needed to, you know, actually create something and put something out there for people to listen to my own music. So that kind of just got me motivated. You know, I got with my friend who is really good at been producing music, and we got together and knocked it out in about a month.
A month. Yeah. I decided, why not? So sounds like you've been, you know, freestyling a good time.
Yeah.
So for those of those out there who haven't heard Citrus yet, how would you describe the album? What kind of sound is it? What kind of vibes are you trying to put out there?
Yeah, no, Citrus is definitely, it's probably not what you're hearing all the time when it comes to rap, especially because it's a white boy on the other end, you know, saying everything I got to say, and it's about my life. And so that's what I think Citrus is. It's just me trying to put myself into a musical expression. It's definitely, you know, more relaxed. There are some songs that definitely have a bigger up-tempo kind of feel to them, but it's definitely one of those albums that, you know, me and my friends just like to throw on and you just sit back and listen to with whatever you're doing.
Right.
Definitely a chill vibes album, if you will.
I gave it a listen, you know, over the weekend or this past weekend, and I like how eclectic it is.
Yeah.
There's a different sound just about on every track, and it's not, you know, it doesn't get stale, if you will, and I really did like that aspect. In terms of the name Citrus, you know, I love the artwork. Absolutely.
Yeah, I got to give a big shout out to my friend Renata on that one. She hand drew it. I just gave her the idea, and she just ran with it, and it came out amazing. Yeah,
it does look stellar. But in terms of the name Citrus, you know, were you just like a Tropicana fan growing up? You despise Mott's as a kid. Yeah. Why Citrus?
Oh, man. So there's actually a little bit of a story to this. I remember I was trying to think up names for the mixtape. I'd already, I think, written 8 songs or so, and went to one of my good friends from back home, Eric, and was like, yeah, dude, I'm trying to think of titles for this mixtape right now. Mm. All I have is statues, I think, was my original thing. I was just going to take a picture with one of the statues on campus and have that be the cover, but then he just started throwing out names, and he said Citrus, and I was like, huh, well, you know, that's kind of got a cool image to it when it first popped into my head, and being from Florida, where the, you know, citrus is such a big thing to our history, and you know, it just started to become something that I was able to incorporate things from my life with this whole theme of citrus and use that effectively.
Yeah, so. And you definitely make notice of it within your certain songs. You know, you drop, you know, citrus related lines.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely tie that theme all together. So, who inspired you musically? In the sense, you know, when I listened to Citrus, I was certain tracks, I was like, that kind of sounds like, I don't want to say it, I want to hear what you have to say. Who would you say were your musical inspirations?
I tell people that they, whenever I get asked this question, like, I tell them it's definitely dependent on who I'm listening to at the time. For this mixtape, you know, a lot of what I was listening to when writing, I'm always listening to Kendrick Lamar. So you can see that in the interlude and in some other songs that there's very Kendrick type beats. I was definitely listened to a ton of Chance the Rapper.
I was gonna say, with the little speech you throw in there.
Yeah, with what Chance is doing, you know, it makes you want to appreciate rap for its musical aspect, and not just what it provides lyrically. So I definitely tried to incorporate a lot of that. J. Cole and the way that he likes to throw in some singing stuff, because I have a musical background, and I want to be able to use that and showcase that. And then of course, Mac Miller,
just the other one.
For the flow, and just like trying to get that personality, trying to find my own personality with regards to who I am as a rapper.
So one of the tracks on Citrus is titled Beautiful Day. I believe that's track 10. Tell me a little bit about that. That song really resonated with me. what was your process behind making that track?
Yeah, Beautiful Days started off, I can remember me and my buddy Sean, started off with us chilling, and I wanted to write a remix to All Right by Kendrick Lamar, and so I got an instrumental to that and started writing out this Beautiful Days, and as I kept going, I started finding that I was writing more of a story than just like a freestyle poetry type, and so, you know, I kept going with that story, and created a hook for it because I thought it needed to be its own song, and found a beat, and you know, there's definitely some stories of my past year within that, definitely getting into the last verse, and just some fun times, some good memories that I hope, you know, listeners can pick up on at the end.
So again, we're here with John Debevoise, but you go by J-Deb when it comes to the album. Any plans for the future? I know you probably plan on, you know, riding that first album wave as long as possible. You plan on getting back into the studio for a second?
Oh yeah, you know, I'm gonna see what happens with this mixtape. You know, people, I've been getting really good feedback, and you know, I can only hope to grow that so that more and more people are listening to. That's the whole reason I'm doing this, is you know, just my friends like to listen to my music, so mm-hmm. I might as well make it for them. And if you know other people like it, then that's awesome, and I love that. But yeah, already me and my buddy Austin, who helped me produce these songs for Citrus. We're already working on our own little collaborative mixtape that I'm hoping to drop at the end of this month, if not early November, just to keep making music for people. He's making the beats, and I just put the lyrics to him, and I think we have a really good sound going yeah. with us for the two of us, and you know, just to keep creating music that people want to hear, and hopefully one day it'll blow up, and if not, you know, life will be okay, because I got to right? do what I love to do, and do it with good friends, so you know, it's a good time with good fellas.
Hey, there you go. So where can we listen to Citrus? Where can I find it?
Yeah, you can find Citrus on Spotify. If you look up J-Deb on Spotify or even Citrus. It's located in the albums. If you don't have Spotify and you'd rather listen on SoundCloud, I'm there on SoundCloud under the username JD Squared. Those are the two places you can go catch it and go check out the tracks.
Yeah, and if you choose not to go the Spotify or SoundCloud route, you can always tune in to our online internet radio, moosemagnificat.com. This is where you can, under the local artist tab, we're going to feature his link to his album, if not, and also the artwork. This is Andrew Rybeck on behalf of Tallahassee Talks. Keep it right here with us.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
All right, welcome to another segment with the Tallahassee Fire Department. I am Mike Bellamy, the public information for TFD, and we have a great show today. We're going to talk pink, and we're going to talk heels, and we're going to talk cancer with one of our firefighters, Sarah Cooksey, a firefighter engineer with our department. Sarah, thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. So, we're going to talk pink heels, right?
Absolutely.
So I'm sure the listeners are wondering right now what that's all about. What could that possibly be? Tell us about what the pink heels is all about, Sarah.
Well, it's pink heels, and that's spelled H-E-A-L-S. Not like your high heels, but like, you know, healing your terminal illnesses or, you know, healing your heart, whatever that case might be. In 2007, Dave Graybill founded a national organization called Pink Heels, and initially it was to take care of patients that had cancer issues. You know, the pink fire truck represents women because women are the primary caregivers in their family. Well, much like the fire service, Pink Heels has evolved over time, and we've decided that we're going to embrace and umbrella some other terminal illnesses too. So basically, in a nutshell, we just raise money and keep it local and take care of needs. You know, a lot of times insurance will pay for copay or pay for medical care and stuff like that, but then somebody can't make their electric bill payment, or they might need groceries or shoes for their kids. So what we do is we give our program for free to local businesses and people in the community, and we have them fundraise, and then they can push it through our 501c3 so that it's tax deductible. And then 100% of those proceeds or donations go to the person that we're raising the funds for.
Okay, so Dave Graybill was a firefighter, retired firefighter, right?
Mm-hmm.
and a family man, couple children,
yep.
And really involved in philanthropy and founded the organization, started with one truck, one pink fire truck that he bought, Karen, right?
Correct.
And he had a chance to meet him a few years ago when he came into Tallahassee and brought the trucks through. So now that one truck has grown into 150 trucks, right?
Correct.
In three countries. And you have a truck now that you personally have acquired. And tell us a little bit about that truck, what the name of her is, and how you got her.
When the Pink Heels tour came through in 2010, October 2010, the very next day, a girl that I knew very well at the age of 15 years old on October 5th was diagnosed with terminal liver cancer. They gave her 6 months to live, and she battled that, battled her cancer for a year and a half, at which time, you know, she passed to cancer. So in 2010, when they came through on the national tour, I thought, you know what, Tallahassee needs this, and I really think that this would be awesome. And then when she was diagnosed the next day, I was like, okay, I'm going to acquire a fire truck, and I'm going to name it Ariel, and I'm going to do this in honor of her, which then became in memory of her. In 2013, Mike Morgan of Wakulla County gave me a fire truck, which wasn't originally a truck, a Tallahassee fire truck, and then Wakulla County acquired it through auction or something like that, and then he really liked what I was doing, so he gave it to me. And then over the next 3 years, we did a restoration project with over 1,600 manpower hours put into it. We painted her pink and completely restored her, and then dedicated her April 30th of this year and named her Ariel.
And the listeners can check her out on your Facebook page, right?
Yes, and that's Pink Heels Tallahassee chapter on Facebook.
Wow, that's a neat story. Cancer, we know, affects so many people. About 1,600 people a year die from cancer. 1.6 million are going to be diagnosed this year, is the estimation. Every 2 minutes, a child is diagnosed with cancer. And even more close to home for you and I, Sarah, cancer is now the number one line of duty death for firefighters. So, you know, tell me why it's important that we keep this local and that we do this charity and focus it and keep the money in our community.
Well, I feel like we raise so many dollars for all these charities, and you know, constantly we're raising money for this charity and that charity, and a lot of times those dollars go outside of our community, and there are so many needs that are still within our community that are not being met. So by raising the funds and keeping them local and taking care of our people, we're taking care of our own community. And I feel like if each community has their own chapter of Pink Heels and everyone does that, then you're going to see, you know, more and more needs taken care of and less people hurting.
Tell us about some upcoming events and what those are going to look like in our area.
Okay, on October the 9th and the 10th, we have the National Pink Heels Tour coming in. So we'll have about five pink fire trucks driving all over Tallahassee. We're still lining up the 9th, which is that Sunday, with some possible activities at Florida State. But on the 10th, we'll be starting at 9 in the morning at Legacy Toyota. We'll be there from 9 to 11. And you can come out and buy Pink Heels Tour t-shirts. You can sign the trucks for free. That's no cost. We'll then be traveling to the Cancer Center, the TMH Cancer Center, at noon. And we'll be there till about 3 o'clock. And then at 3:30, we'll be at the Public Safety Complex building off of Easterwood Drive.
And you were talking about the merchandise. I thought that was a really neat thing about your organization. That's how you operate. That's how you're funded. You're not using any of that money that comes in at these fundraisers for that. So how? Tell us specifically how you do that.
We sell t-shirts and other merchandise items, and that's how we pay for fuel and expenses to operate the truck, in-kind donations from different mechanics, and, you know, like I said, over 1,600 free manpower hours that were put in to just paint the truck alone. So that way, when people donate money for a patient or a family member or whatever, 100% of that there goes to them. We don't have any corporate salaries. We're all volunteers. My board consists of four Tallahassee firefighters.
And when you go out there, what's it like to go do a home visit and take flowers and meet a cancer survivor?
It's humbling. It's an amazing experience. And, you know, sometimes when I did the national tour, because I did a 14-day national tour, I actually helped carry somebody outside who was very terminal. And it just kind of keeps you grounded.
It makes a big impact on the family?
Absolutely. It's a huge impact on the family.
And if local families want to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
They can contact us on Facebook through messaging is probably the easiest way to do that.
Okay, wonderful. Anything else that you want to add here? We've got about a minute left. You want to wrap up with anything?
Not really. I just really look forward to growing and really helping people in our community and sharing love and driving the big pink truck Ariel around town. So if you see a big pink fire truck around town, that's what it is.
There's no other, right?
There's just one
pink truck. And I love the idea that it's focused on keeping the money local, the charity's money's local, and then not just that, but you're tying in with local communities and organizations to help them out, other 501c3s, right?
Absolutely. If they're local, like the TMH Foundation, I work with them. We did Ride for Hope, just dealing with TMH and the Cancer Center. We can do all of that stuff as long as that money stays local.
Great. And it's not just pink fire trucks. I understand it's also pink police cars.
Pink police cars, pink ambulances, you name it.
Great. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us. Thank you for all you're doing with this wonderful cause, and we will see you out there.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Tallahassee, for joining us for another segment. We'll see you soon.
Have you heard about TallyConnection.com? These are the folks who bring us all of the events and activities going on around town. It's a great little spot. TallyConnection.com. Go to that particular blog. You can find out everything you want to know about fundraisers and kids' activities and festivals and concerts. It's all there, brought to you by FSU Credit Union. And they make it possible for us to bring you Tallahassee Talks every week. So we like the fact that we're working together. We even have a link to their TallyConnection.com site on our website under community. So there's a good way to find them. TallyConnection.com. Visit this week. Find out more about what you love about this town. Events and activities, all to make your life a little bit better.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We are in the midst of one of the most unusual, remarkable periods of American history, particularly in relation to presidential politics. I'm quite certain in saying that no matter what part of this conversation you want to look at, no matter what your particular point of view may be, we have not seen the kinds of events that have occurred in this last number of years prior. Perhaps with one slight exception, and that is the era that some of us refer to as the Perot era, the Perot phenomenon. The fact that for the last 20-some years, there has been this growing concern, and then concern moving into action, and an action moving into a movement that for its time seems to have morphed a bit. It moved from being the Ross Perot campaign into what some believe to be the foundation for the Tea Party movement. And that same sort of then moving of thought and action toward the current campaign for Donald Trump. And the kinds of folks that have come to the fore are people like Pat Muth. Pat, who is an author, a Tallahassee resident, somebody who has been in and around politics most of her career, radio talk show host in Chicago for many, many years, has made her home in Tallahassee, and now has this new book, and we're glad to have her with us again this morning. How are you, Pat?
Hey, Brian. It is really good to be with you.
Well, that's because the coffee is fresh and hot, and so am I. No, that's not right. Sorry. Bad host. What I am most interested in talking with you about today, and we've had a couple of conversations already. How's the book going, by the way?
Very well.
Yeah. People, a title in the making, it's called, huh?
The Perot Movement Laid the Foundation to Take Back America. Where do we go from here?
That's the question.
Yeah.
And it's called a title in the making because we don't know where this whole thing is going, do we?
That's right. We're still making the title.
I got you. And you have this now in publication. It's being distributed online and through various bookstores. I know you've got a book signing coming up on the 15th, right?
Yes, on Saturday the 15th at Barnes & Noble from 2 to 4 p.m.
Here in Tallahassee.
Here in Tallahassee.
Nice. And that's out there at what is now called the Center of Tallahassee, formerly the Tallahassee Mall, right?
Right.
So Barnes & Noble hosting you there for this book signing. You've done a couple of these already. What are you hearing from people who come and want you to autograph their book?
I hear three basic things from practically everywhere I've been, and that is from the Midwest back down here to Florida. People are very concerned about the state of the country. Hmm. That's the first one. And they feel that if something doesn't happen this time, we've really lost it. Hmm. The second thing I hear constantly is how we have lost our press, that journalism is totally gone. And the third thing that I hear mostly from people who I would say are grandparents is they're very concerned about what kind of country they're going to leave for their grandchildren. They feel that they messed up with their own children. Because their children, they were too busy working and they didn't pay enough attention to where things were going. Hmm. And I hear this over and over again.
Of late, the headlines have been about the two debates that have occurred. The first with candidate Trump and Clinton, candidates Trump and Clinton. And then the most recent with the vice presidential nominees, Mr. Pence and Mr. Kaine. And here we are on the eve of the second of the presidential debates. It'll happen tomorrow on Sunday. You had a bit of experience with all of this during the time that you were associated with the Ross Perot campaign. And we're going to get in talking about that here in a minute. I'm curious as to your observations thus far with the two debates that you've seen, and sort of how it has left folks. And do you feel like it has moved anybody one way or the other?
I'm not so sure it's moved too many people. Perhaps it's moved those people who get their information from news sound bites and really don't dig deep into researching anything to actually find out what the individual candidates have actually said, because there's so many things that have been twisted and turned, and that's what Americans are really upset about, because they can go back and they can look at the actual clip and say, well, that wasn't said. I feel that what we're looking at in the debates right now is not how these debates were originally set out to be. You know, the League of Women Voters, were the group that originally decided to bring the candidates together to talk about the issues and give Americans a better idea of which candidate they should vote for. Huh. And then the two parties got involved and said they didn't want the League of Women Voters to do that and basically kicked them out. It took the debates away and formed a debate commission. That debate commission, they negotiate everything to the size of the podium, the color of the tie, the moderators, the place where it's going to be, down to the most minutia that you can imagine. And we really have come so far away from debating the issues, it's become a joke. I heard so many people say at the beginning of the vice presidential debate that if Kaine didn't stop interrupting, they were going to turn it off. The debates have had very high ratings. But what are we really doing?
It's interesting that in a lot of that post-facto conversation, there have been more criticisms levied against the moderators, I think.
The moderators deserve it.
To your point, aren't we here to better learn what these candidates represent, and now we're focused on how well the moderator played his or her role in that.
Where's the world? Focus? Yeah. Excuse me. Where in the world did we start trying to come up with these gotcha questions. Let me figure out what's the best question I can possibly ask either Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton to really throw them off their game.
Yeah.
That's not the purpose of these debates, but that's what they've turned into, a sideshow.
Well, in that capacity, I think of the classic and probably the watershed for a lot of this was, of course, the two candidates, Kennedy and Nixon. And it's often pointed to as Nixon's failure in that
capacity. I watched that debate.
Yeah.
I remember that debate so well.
Too.
They did talk about the issues, however.
Yeah.
The problem was that Nixon started to perspire. And you could see it on his face, where Kennedy used stage makeup.
Right.
Now, yes, you're right. It started right there.
Well, it's just, in this case, you've got this notion that the medium is the message, and we are so TV oriented, and you said soundbite oriented, that we worry more about the pancake makeup than the substance of what the person is saying.
But now we're even going past that, and we're editing out statements that people have made to make them configure to what our personal belief is at the network or at the station.
Yeah.
That's just simply not journalism.
Yeah.
That's lying.
Mm. Talking with Pat Muth, author, a longtime broadcaster, and these days someone who is out there on her own campaign trail as she's bringing news of this newly released book entitled A Title in the Making, and it all has to do with her description of and her account of how the Ross Perot movement has been carried forward in the minds and hearts of a lot of folks who now find themselves within this Trump campaign sort of effort. We're going to continue our conversation. Pat, I want to, when we get back from the break, I want to get into talking more about this whole debate process, because you've got an interesting part of the book in which you talk about the debate with Ross Perot at that time. So we'll take a quick break here. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me. I want to take just a minute and tell you about Chelsea Salon. They are the official hair care salon and spa for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And yes, this is how I am able to bring to you my very best every week. Because, though you can't see me, I know whether I'm at my best. And I need all the help that I can get. So when I go over to see Mary Fannin and her crew, they are proficient in everything they do. Wow. Well, I don't think there's anything that has to do with my personal look and feel that they don't do. Here's one review I read recently. This is a guy here in Tallahassee. He says, I am so happy I found this place, having just moved from Orlando, where I had a wonderful stylist for 15 years. Chelsea is the bomb. Well, there you go, guys. So it's not just for the ladies. Check it out this week. Chelsea Salon and Spa, the official hair care and salon stylists for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hello, brothers and sisters in Radio Land. This is blues guitarist Jerry Thigpen. Don't you move, because this is Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with author Pat Muth. The title of her most recent book is A Title in the Making. She's got a book signing coming up the 15th at Barnes & Noble's out there at the center of Tallahassee. Yeah, you're going to want to meet Pat. In my meetings with her thus far, I've found her to be particularly detailed in her recall of those events that transpired throughout her working with the Ross Perot campaign, particularly in relation to the 96 presidential race, then incumbent President Bill Clinton, and the challenger was Bob Dole. There were debates scheduled then for that particular presidential race, but Ross Perot was not invited to the party, was he?
Well, that was the biggest disappointment I think I had during the entire time that I was involved. In 1995, we started in California to build a new political party in this country. And in less than 11 months, we built the Reform Party. The Reform Party was on the ballot in 50 states when it came time for the 1996 election. Now, can you imagine this? The Presidential Commission on Debates decided that Ross Perot was not going to be allowed into that debate that year because he did such a good job in 1992. Mm-hmm. Neither Clinton nor Dole in 96 wanted him in the race. And they used a set of bogus criteria to keep him out of the race. This man went across the country and established, with the help of the American people, a new political party, which we have not seen in history for a long time. And when he was shut out of that debate because they said that he didn't have enough money to really win the campaign, I mean, that was the exact opposite of what they said the first time. They accused him of wanting of buying the race. Now this time he wasn't putting in that kind of money because he was using the money that he got from the percentage of votes from the 1992 election. Mm-hmm. This is a little complicated, and he was running on the Reform Party ticket.
Okay,
they would not allow him into the debate. Mm.
And in that occasion, or upon that occasion, you were privy to some conversations that went on with Chris Matthews and George Stephanopoulos. There's a section in the book where you talk about this.
Well, I talk about it in two places because, Brian, after every presidential cycle, there is a tradition in this country. Everyone who has been involved in the presidential race gathers together at Harvard University, at the Harvard University Institute for Politics, and they have a very open discussion. And after each one of these sessions, they publish a book about what was said at that discussion. It is amazing how honest they become. It is amazing to hear some of the things that they actually say. And it just goes to show that what I'm saying right here, if the American people only knew how they felt going in. Wow. I mean, I think many American voters are beginning to realize what a charade half of this stuff is.
And that is, in fact, where we're at, because we have the second presidential debate scheduled for tomorrow. Well, let's take a moment. There is an audio book under the same title that Pat has recorded. So you can get it in print. You can get the audio book there at Amazon.com. There is a moment in that that you're talking about, this occasion when Stephanopoulos and others are gathered. So let's take a moment and we'll listen to Pat Muth as she relays this particular occurrence.
Chris Matthews, the Washington bureau chief for the San Francisco Examiner at the time, moderated the after-dinner free-for-all. "Why did you have the debate, all the debates, done before anybody paid attention to this election?" Matthews queried. "Why didn't you have the debates when people were watching the election?" George Stephanopoulos snapped, "Because we didn't want them to pay attention. The debates were a metaphor for the campaign." Matthews then asked if the Republicans accepted the deal to keep Perot out. "Well, we didn't want Perot in either," Stephanopoulos quipped. "Well, why did you make us think you did?" Matthews asked. "Because we wanted Perot's people to vote for us," he responded to a room full of laughter. "How's that for candor?" Stephanopoulos added.
So there we have an example of how the back room works, the backstage.
And you said, not pretty, is it?
Well, I mean, and it's
very honest.
It's show business.
Yes, it's all show business.
Yeah, and it's where what we have created as the perception has overshadowed the reality. And so my question then is, how do we find what is really the truth? How do we get to the truth?
Well, you see, when Stephanopoulos can say that they had no intention of letting him in from the beginning, and that was back in 1996, here we are, this is 2016, you can see how it has degenerated over the years to what it is right now. Mm. As we saw with the vice presidential debate, there was no intention of actually debating the issues. Mm. And I question whether there will be any intention of wanting to debate the issues on tomorrow night on the debate. Mm. I know that I've listened to Donald Trump's speeches across the country. I know that he talks about the issues in every one of his speeches. Mm. But I am not so sure that the Democratic Party this time has a candidate that wants to talk about the issues, because of this current state that this country is in. And so anything that they can do to deflect from that is what's going to happen.
When we look for those sources, when we look for those places where we can get the unvarnished truth, does that even exist, do you think?
Yes, it does, but it's there are sites, thank God for the internet, and there are certain television and radio personalities who really try to do a good job in, you know, sticking with the facts. But today we're so driven to feed our families, make a living, take care of our children, and do all the things we need to do that we really don't, most of us don't have time to really find out what's behind all of this.
Right.
And that's what the problem is. And I think, I'm actually wondering if it wasn't set up for this purpose, you know, to make it so difficult that you really don't have time to
get pushed away.
Right. Mm. And so what we tend to do is listen to a soundbite.
Well, folks, we try very hard here to be unvarnished and as candid as we can in all of our conversations, which is one of the reasons why I enjoy having people like Pat Muth, because I never have to worry about whether it's being filtered. I get it straight from the source. And this is a person who I think we can listen to and learn from, especially with having had the number of years you bring to the table, the kinds of experiences that you can report to us from these earlier campaigns, particularly with Ross Perot.
Well, you can see how we have come. You can see from 1992 through 1996 and establishing the Reform Party and then seeing it die in 2000. It's only around in three states right now. This was not accidental. This is all part of what's happened, but you really have to look at this very carefully.
We have to drill down, folks. Pat Muth is helping us do that. Thank you so much, my friend.
It's a pleasure,
always.
We
will stay in touch with you, and as we go forward, we only have a few weeks left here. I suspect the next couple of weeks are going to become even more intense, and we're going to look forward to having Pat back sometime before that all goes down on November 8th.
I'd love to.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
Folks, thank you for being with me. We're always delighted to have you aboard when we are here to bring you all that Tallahassee is talking about this week. That's what we do. We're the production of Alcom Media and Entertainment. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny. Associate producer is Andrew Rybeck. You get yourself back over here again next Saturday because I'll be looking for you. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me.
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.